Let's see, two groups of Gentiles, what does that mean? Well, I don't find that phrase in the Scripture, and I try not to use that terminology. I just call it two conditions of Scripture, and you can find those two conditions in Ephesians 2, verse 11 and 12, and the other condition would be in Genesis 12:3. Let's look at Ephesians 2, 11 and 12, first of all. 11 and 12 shows us, "Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision," and jumping down to verse 12, "that at that time you were without Christ, being why were you without Christ? You were aliens from the commonwealth," not the nation. It doesn't say you have to be born in Israel or born an Israelite. You are aliens from the commonwealth, the wider commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And let's go now to the other type of Gentile, Genesis 12, let's read verses 2 and 3 if we could. Well, we'll start with verse 1. And it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Could you please enlarge your type there? I'd like to see what you're typing, Justin. Thank you for your comments, but if you could make it a little bigger, it would help. And if you have any questions in there, post them again, please. "And I will make of thee a great nation." That's a promise. Now, this whole thing, these three verses, is a covenant. But within the covenant, there are seven promises. Here's the first one. "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee." That's the second one. Third one is, "and make thy name great." The fourth one is, "thou shalt be a blessing." And let me get the next verse up there. Did I count four or five? Let's see. "I will make of thee a great nation," one. "Will bless thee," is two. "Make thy name great," is three. "Thou shalt be a blessing," is four. The fifth one here in the beginning of three, "I will bless them that bless thee." Now the covenant is made and the promise is made to Israel, not to any Gentiles. But you can see that if Gentiles bless Israel, they're not... they're blessed. They will receive a blessing from God. Those Gentiles will. Not that God made the covenant with them, but God promised to Israel that if some people come along and help you, here's some incentive for them too. You know, I'm going to bless them. So there were Jews. There were Greeks. They're called Greeks that sought the wisdom and knowledge of God. And they found that if they would bless Israel with their tithes in the synagogues or whatever, they would receive a blessing from God. Now, this was before Paul, you know, preached the saving message to them. Like we said when we started out about grafting, that was all past tense. But "I will bless them that bless thee" is the fifth thing, "and curse him that curseth thee." So if someone comes along and tries to exterminate Israel, they're under a curse. They were under a curse. Now, the thing is, Israel walked away from that covenant. That's the sixth one. The seventh one is, "and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Those are the seven promises. But Israel walked away from that covenant. It doesn't help to bless Israel anymore. And you could tell from Iraq, you know, bombing Scuds into Israel, they weren't annihilated. Certainly not by God. Later on, they faced a war with us, the United States, I should say. You know, they're still in power over there. Those promises are on hold until Israel is in favor with God again. Right now, Israel is not God's people. And God said, "I will not be your God." That's in prophecy, and it happened at the time when Israel committed their unforgivable sin. their unforgivable sin was the sin Christ gave them or told to them in Matthew 12:31-32, that if you blaspheme or even speak against the Holy Ghost, it won't be forgiven you. And that's what they did in Acts 7 when they stoned Stephen, speaking the words, the very words of the Holy Ghost to them. The high priest himself initiated that stoning. He was there in Acts 7 verse 1. He's verified as being there. What verses in Acts? Read chapter 6 and 7. 6 is a short chapter, and it shows who the people are that are involved. And verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1 shows the high priest is involved. And then Stephen gives that long, almost like a repeating narrative of Israel's constant going away from God, being brought back, going away from God, being brought back, going away. Their propensity was just to go away from God. And that's why all these statements, when John the Baptist appears on the scene, repent, change your mind, don't go after all these other gods, make God, the Creator God, your God, Jehovah God. And so he gives this long sermon from Acts 7 verse 2 through Acts, about 51, 7 verse 51, and from 51 on through 59 shows that they just rejected the Holy Ghost. They became low ami at that point. They were a fallen nation. They were never again offered the kingdom that Peter had offered them on Pentecost Day there in the temple in Acts 2 and Acts 3. They weren't offered the kingdom anymore. They will be. They will return to the Lord when the Lord awakens them and pours out on them a spirit of grace and of supplication, according to Zechariah 12:10. But that's not until after you and I, well, if you're a saved person, believing that Christ died for your sins and that's all that will save you, we'll be caught up before then, caught up to heaven, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. So, let's see, Jesus saved us a free gift, gave us a free gift of salvation, and also came that we have more abundant life. Receiving the gospel is all that saves you and gives you the eternal life of Christ within you. And I'm just scanning here to see if anybody brought down more questions that I'm not seeing. Newness of life. Paul talked about living in newness of life. Amen. Yeah, put off the old man and put on the new. Right? I think that's what Ephesians 4:23 or 32 or somewhere in there. And Colossians, it also is spoken of there too. Around chapter 3. I don't see anybody, any hand or any other comments, so we're going to get ready and have a closing song, and then the room will be closed. I hope somebody else can open a room, but let's listen to the song. I like it. It's very true. How often is this study? We do this nightly. I should say weeknightly. Monday through Friday, from 7 to 9 Central Time, 8 to 10 Eastern Time. That's New York Time. I'm not sure if you're in the United States or foreign. A lot of people go by New York Time if they're out of the country. But so from Eastern Time, it's 8 to 10. And usually about an hour into that, about halfway through, we have this live Bible study. We start off with a planned a lesson that's been done before by somebody, and somebody that we trust their understanding of the Scriptures, and we think it's beneficial and edifying, an edifying lesson. We start with that, and then we go into a live Bible study for the rest of the meeting, or most of the rest, depending on if we've got I do have another lesson set aside here. Let me just, I don't know if, it's it's 22 minutes long. Do we have, wait, yeah, that will just be 7 minutes over, I guess. Let's go for it. Oh, Justin Paul, come on up. Come on up. I'll give you a mic here. Justin Paul, you had your hand up. Did you mean to have your hand up? I don't hear any sound. Take the mic if you have a comment. Or put it in text if you can't get the mic. Would you like to put it in text or just come back for answers in the oh, he's going out to come back in. Okay. Welcome, Andy. And Irish Lullaby, welcome to the room. Oh, some others came in. Katie, Ed, genuine, it's cut off. I guess it's genuine character. Welcome to the room, everyone. Ambassador of Christ. And Vic, Delta, Christina, Brian, and Nathaniel. Mike's mic won't let you get the mic. Really? Oh, yeah, I have to drop the mic before you can try to take the mic. Come on up if you want to try it again, Justin. No, he must be having sound troubles, or the room is. Try it one more time, Justin. I'll drop the mic here and then you take it. Okay, apparently you're on Express, Pal Talk Express, and some people do have to have somebody else take the mic. Could somebody just say hi or something? After I drop the mic, and then Justin can try to get it. Somebody come up and say hi.
Got it. I appreciate it. Thank you, Vic. Sometimes, for some reason, Pal Talk Express won't let you take the mic if the admin has it. But if somebody else takes it, I can take it after them. Cool. I'm glad that you can hear me. You know, for years, I went to a Baptist church. I've been to all different types of churches. And you know, for years I didn't know I was saved by grace before I started reading the epistles, which I'm so grateful because Ed led me to the epistles, and I finally learned that I was saved by grace, and I'm so thankful for that because I tell you what, there's no way I could work my way into heaven, no way. Jesus was the only one that was righteous, and we can't establish our own righteousness, but you know. As I've been reading the epistles, I've learned that Paul said it was good to maintain good works, for this was profitable to all men. But he wasn't talking about, you know, for salvation. And when I was reading the book of James, you know, he says, I'll show you my faith by my works. Well, that's not taking away grace either. I really just really looking at the epistles and the fruits of the Spirit. I'm trying to live in the fruits of the Spirit, but living in the fruits of the Spirit and carrying them out, that's not trying to work for self. There's no way that you can establish your own righteousness, and I'm grateful for that because there's no way I could hold up to the Mosaic Law. I don't know if you guys read them. There's a whole lot of them. I don't even know if I said it right, but there'd be no way. But anyway, so I'm gonna take a seat, but that's all I got to say. For many years I didn't know I was saved by grace. Many.
Okay, Justin, thank you for those comments. Yeah, it's true, we are saved by grace, and you don't have to be a right divider to be saved by grace, to believe on the grace of God through Jesus Christ having died for our sins. But being a right divider does show how that's the gospel that is in effect today, that does work today, that God is saving people by today. What's a right divider? Let me just get my poster up again here. Hold on a minute, and we'll look at 2 Timothy 2:15. Is it going to come up? Maybe not. Try it this way. Hold on. Okay. 2 Timothy 2:15. And it reads... Oh, thank you. That'll help. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, you know, there are other places that tell us to take note of who's being spoken to, like in John 21, there by the seaside, and the Lord tells Peter to feed my sheep, and then Peter says, well, what about this man, the disciple you love, and what should he do? And the Lord says, you know, basically he says, what I tell him, I tell him. What I'm telling you, I'm telling you. So what we need to do is find out what in the scriptures was told to us, to Gentiles, not to the Jews. We need to find out what the Jews were told, but understand that was their instructions that they failed from. And find out what happened after that. And one thing that happened is in Acts 9, Paul was saved as a sinner, not as a law keeper, not as keeping the kingdom, Israel's doctrine. He was unsavable and unforgivable in Israel's doctrine. He had committed Israel's unforgivable sin. But the Lord saved him, and it says, for I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. The Lord made him especially our apostle, and so we need to listen to what he says. Another confirmation that we need to pay attention: our doctrine comes from Christ through Paul. That's good there. Oh, take note of what is written, where it's written, especially in the timeline, if it was written before Christ came or after Christ and before Paul was saved or after Paul was saved, or after, if it's talking about conditions after the rapture, things like that. You have to take note of the chronology of events there, and to whom it was written. Who is it addressed to? But if you look at the verse, let me post it again so it's down in front here. And this is Galatians 2:9. When James, Cephas, and John, they're all part of that 12, Israel's 12 apostles. When, excuse me just a minute. Paul's speaking here, and he says, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, unto Paul, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen. Well, that's who God had sent them to. And they unto the circumcision. So they confined themselves, you know, Cephas, that's Peter, he had been given the keys of the kingdom to bind and to loose, and he was binding the circumcision, the true believers, those that met there in the church in Jerusalem, Church of God in Jerusalem. Those were the ones they were to go to, and they were basically ministering to their group and not evangelizing anymore. That was the interruption in what's often called the Great Commission. It would be Israel's commission or the Apostles' commission, but it says so you come to James or you come to First Peter. Who did Peter say he was going to write to, going to go to and write to? He's going to the circumcision, writing to the circumcision. Same thing with Jude, one of the apostles, writing to the circumcision. John, the revelation, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Gospel of John, they're all written for and about Israel. If you go through 1 John with that in mind, that it was written to Israel after Israel is in the tribulation, and all those things that look like they may be gospels, you know, this a person that acts this way is a son of God or whatever, those are really tests for people in the great tribulation to find out if the person knocking on their door for help is a true believer or is someone trying to find out about you and turn you in. You know, when you read through it with that in mind, it's not telling you to confess your sins. It's not talking to you. It's talking to those in the tribulation. Israel, remember, there was an acceptable year of the Lord, that was the start. At, you know, until they rejected the Lord at the end of that first year, Peter said, "This is that which was prophesied of the prophet Joel." Acts 2:16, he connects with those occurrences there with the beginning of the tribulation. And it, of course, stopped when Israel fell and committed that unforgivable sin, fell as a nation, and were no longer the way to God. Their doctrine is put on hold. There's that great statement about how to think, you know, how to apply rightly dividing, how to understand what's written to us and what's not. Look at it by Miles Coverdale back in 1535. "It shall greatly help thee to understand Scripture if thou mark not only what is spoken or written," and that's what most people do. They say, you know, "Seek and you shall find." Well, that's a promise to me that if I seek something, I'm going to find it. It's not a promise to you. It was to... That's Matthew 7:7. Matthew was one of the 12 apostles. He, what's it say in Galatians 2:9? He goes unto the circumcision and writes to the circumcision. That's a circumcision promise for when the circumcision was rising, not when they fell, not after they fell. That was salvation during Israel's rise. After Israel fell, well, that's what Romans 11:11 covers, isn't it? Or begins to cover. Look at what it says there before I go on with that statement from Coverdale. "I say then, have they stumbled?" Yes, Israel stumbled. Did they stumble that they should fall? No, they didn't have to fall after they stumbled. They could have caught themselves. When did they stumble? They stumbled at the stumbling stone, Jesus Christ, when they crucified him. Have they stumbled? Yes. That they should fall? No. They didn't have to fall from being God's chosen people. God forbid. But rather through their fall, so they did fall. Through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Well, in a sense, you know, if you look at Romans 2:25, anyone that doesn't fulfill the law is called uncircumcision. And so, you know, nobody can come to God that way. You can only come to God through the way, the pattern that Christ started by saving Paul on the road to Damascus, saving a sinner. And Paul says, "I was the first saved that way. I was the protos. I was the chief of sinners." It shall greatly help thee to understand Scripture if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom. Who's he talking about? Is he talking about me or somebody? Some, you know, there's some statements about Edom, and then it says later that Edom was destroyed. It was if the statements were to Edom, how could they apply to me if they were only to Edom and there's no more Edom? But of whom, to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, and with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what followeth after. And those last two might be they're just as important as all, they're all important. But that's what you don't go through a checklist with, make a list out of those things and check each scripture, but you keep those things in mind when you're reading. And remember that the Word of God is a spiritual document. Make sure you're saved if you want to try and understand it. It's spiritually discerned, and you have to have the Spirit of God within you to understand it. But even if you don't, faith does come from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Romans 10:17. If you want to have more faith, read more of the Word of God, starting with Paul's epistles. They're the ones that have our doctrine to us, to Gentiles in it.